consensus and making the difficult compromises needed to move this country forward. But that common bond is where we must begin. Our economy is recovering. A decade of war is ending. A long campaign is now over. And you've made me a better president. And with your stories and your struggles, I return to the White House more determined and more inspired than ever about the work there is to do and the future. Together.
Radio.
We have audio, no video.
We are forging a stronger future.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is a pirate broadcast coming at you from the free zones to all of you out there in occupied territory. Freedom lives. And this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Just wanted to let you know that I am very proud to be your host tonight. Great to have all of you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. This is episode 14-29er. So welcome all you patriots across the American Redoubt and outside the wire. We're here to bring you information and hopefully to inspire you and to encourage you and to unite the patriots and let you know that you're not alone out there. And we all need to be looking out for each other, right? Okay. Also, I want to welcome all of our new listeners out there. And I want to remind you all that you can follow us on Facebook.com. We'll try to keep that updated, the Facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt updated throughout the show with some of the links and things like that that we're talking about. But remember also, we will be including the links and resources and highlights and things that we discussed throughout the show in the highlights and resources posting for this episode, which you'll find up at the most recent episode at RadioFreeReadout.com. This is 14-29er. I want to thank you all for your support, your prayers, your letters of encouragement, some of the news articles that you've sent in. Thank you for being alert and aware. And thank you for those of you who are waking up your pastors and those around you who will listen, your like-minded friends and family. Thanks for spreading the word with them as well. And you know what? Also, I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for supporting, contributing to Radio Free Redoubt financially. This is so critically important. We're walking such a thin, tight wire right now to be able to cover the costs. And hey, the Lord has provided. I mean, nothing more and nothing less. It's just exactly, there's no breathing room. So any support, if you're willing to step up and help financially contribute to support Radio Free Redoubt and AMRON and everything that we're doing, just $5 a month, if you could pledge that, that would be just a huge help. And some of you are, you know, you're pledging faithfully $10, $15, $20 a month, and all that adds up. So we're right there where we can, we're treading water. So praise God, right? Okay. I hope you enjoyed tonight's Delta 04 Postnet report from the Tapper Nets. Now, those are live every Sunday evening that you can tune in on shortwave radio if you have single sideband. I want to encourage you to do that for the shortwave listeners out there and for the ham operators out there. Get involved. Join the Nets, especially if you are on the east side of the continent over there in New Europe and all the way down into the south. And then, of course, hey, she's going to be coming up with that right after the show. But the Northern Nevada Prepper Net, that's the one that that we aired. They didn't get the audio file uploaded for this week, so we went back to April and we pulled one up, uses for vinegar for preppers. I was actually really surprised at this. But neat little tips and tricks and techniques that helps you become more self-reliant. And so they cover various different topics each week. And this one aired back in April. And I just thought I'd go back and dig into the archives and pull that up and share that with you guys. You can go and listen to that and all of their archive podcasts. It is a network of the ham operators in Nevada, Northern Nevada. And that's the name of their group, Northern Nevada Preppers Network, or NNPG.net. And they cover a variety of different topics each week during their nets. And they upload that as an audio file. So you can also benefit by the discussion that they have. All right, we'll get into the news because there is a ton of stuff going on, almost more than we can keep up with. And, oh, man, this should be a daily show. It's like an hour or two-hour show every day. There's no shortage of material and stuff to talk about. But we're right now, here we are, Sunday evening, and we're going to get into the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com. Book 9 is scheduled to be out here in just a couple months, and Glenn sent me a little piece of the foreword from that, and that was a treat. That was a really neat thing, but I don't want to spoil it for you guys. That'll be coming out soon enough. All right, you guys heard that the Border Patrol, oh, you didn't hear? The Border Patrol reveals that the United Nations is in control of the U.S. border. I've been saying this for a while, and we're actually, this is coming true. Two anonymous Border Patrol agents reportedly told radio host Dave Hodges that under the pretense of labeling illegal aliens refugees, the United Nations is calling the shots on America's border operations, and the UN is deciding which immigrants to ship to various parts of the U.S. I wonder how they make that decision. One of the agents said UN personnel are already present at various detention facilities. No, that's concentration camps, for those of you who don't know. In the American Southwest, according to Hodges, and they're working with Homeland Security agents in gathering MS-13 gangsters captured from different roundups, patchworked together as a group, and then shipped together to various locations on the perimeter of the United States. Now, this is very interesting because these guys are capturing MS-13 and then being ordered to let them go. And then they're being injected into our country. This one agent also was quoted as saying, "I object to admitting MS-13 gangsters into the U.S. and I was told that we have our orders to treat them like anyone else," the other agent told Hodges. And of course, you can go over to patriotupdate.com. We'll get the link for that, so you can go read the full story. But there is speculation that criminal elements could be used as the strong arm of a corrupt regime. This has been done in the past, and this is something that has kind of slipped past some analysts as an option. Now, other people have keyed in on it. But this is something that could be used and has in the past in other countries have been used as a tool to a tyrannous regime. And that is the criminal element. People that have no morals, no soul, carrying out orders because you get all the loot and you make sure that you control this area. Well, I mean, that's pretty far-fetched. I mean, that's hard to even wrap your mind around, especially in the United States. But why else would they be knowingly bringing MS-13 gang members into the U.S. and shipping them to different parts of the country? Something to think about. But back to the refugee situation. See, this is going to tip everything because right now we can say these guys are illegal immigrants and then we can process them as criminals. Now, what they're really doing is they're citing them and releasing them with a court date to reappear so you can face your charges. And then we'll decide what to do with you then. And of course, these people don't show up for the court dates and they know they're not going to. The system is talking about broken. Wow. It was deliberately broken to undermine our country by the traitors that are in charge of these policies. But see, here's the thing. If they labeled them as refugees, they have protected status, according to the United Nations, which we fund and which we have people in the highest positions of authority that are willing to subjugate the United States to the United Nations mandates. I'm telling you, it's treasonous. But anyway, the possibility of extending UN protection to thousands of Central Americans crossing U.S. border with Mexico illegally by defining them as refugees who are seeking asylum for political and domestic violence in their home nations, WorldNet Daily has confirmed. Officials privy to the UN discussions have explained to WorldNet Daily it's a tricky situation, quote unquote, because the Central American immigrants are not part of any group the UN has designated as victims of political or religious persecution. Well, we're going to have to create a situation then where they are persecuted. A United Nations official confirmed Monday to WorldNet Daily through an email that a 10-nation meeting in Nicaragua of ministers of the interior from the U.S., Mexico, and various Central American countries was held Thursday and Friday. And the ministers, according to preliminary reports obtained by WorldNet Daily, concluded that the Central American illegal aliens are refugees deserving international protection under the auspices of the UN. There we go. As they seek asylum in the U.S., asylum. The U.S. minister cited the UN's 30-year-old Declaration on the Rights of Refugees. Wow, there's a lot of power in words, isn't there? Words have meaning. Let's call them refugees. That completely changes everything. Attending the meeting were the United Nations Human Rights Council representatives, as well as representatives of SICA. Not sure what that is. Have to do a little bit more research there. The El Salvadorian headquartered non-government organization known in English as Central American Integration System. That means the official relocating of population groups. The Central American Integration System. What a beautiful tool for globalists to get their hands on. Probably formed by globalists. Have to do some research on that. The group was endorsed by the UN General Assembly. Well, if they were endorsed by the UN General Assembly, they're definitely a globalist group. Back in 93, to create a regional bodies and institutions authorized to interact with the UN officially in an effort to unify Central American states politically and economically. Oh, man. Wow. And check this out, though. They don't have to come to the border anymore. There's something going on behind the scenes that's very sinister with the individual that we interrupted his broadcast right at the beginning of Radio Free Readout. Obama wants to fly illegals directly into the country. Just skip the border, fly right over it, starting where? In Honduras. He would, by executive action, screen the illegals. Oh, they're calling them illegals. Okay. By executive action, they would screen the illegals in their country and fly them directly into the U.S. by labeling them as refugees. Then they're not legal. They're not illegal anymore because they're refugees, right? Hoping to stem the recent surge of migrants at the southwestern border, because that's where all the focus is, right? Well, while we're staring at the border, we're not looking up because the planes that will be flying over the border are going to be bringing these people deep into American territory. The Obama administration is considering whether to allow hundreds of minors and young adults, which is the majority of them, from Honduras into the United States without making the dangerous trek through Mexico. It's for the children because it's so dangerous out there to, you know, make that long journey through Mexico. Well, let's just make it easy for them. If approved, the plan would direct the government to screen thousands of children and youths in Honduras to see if they can enter the United States as refugees, Do you feel threatened? Yes. Just nod your head. Okay, good. All right, we got a refugee here. Get him on the plane. Or on emergency humanitarian grounds. Well, here's an emergency humanitarian ground. I have to go to the United States, and if you will not give me a plane ticket, I will have to walk. Oh, that would be a humanitarian crisis. Well, here, let's put you on the plane. It would be the first American refugee effort in a nation reachable by land to the United States, the White House said. The White House said. They're already planning for this. It's already a done deal. If they're already talking about this, they're trying to sell you on it, that means they're going to do it. Putting the violence in Honduras on the level of humanitarian emergencies in Haiti and Vietnam, where such programs have been conducted in the past amid war and major crises. Hey, never let a crisis go to waste, right? By moving decisions on refugee claims to Honduras, the plan aims to slow the rush of minors crossing into the United States illegally from El Salvador, which of course is where MS-13 is coming from, Honduras and Guatemala. Oh, now we got three countries, which has overwhelmed the border this year. More than 45,000 of them. Many of the children, particularly in Honduras, are believed to be fleeing dangerous street gangs. Well, there's a humanitarian crisis, which forcibly recruit members and extort home and business owners. Sounds like Detroit or Chicago. The United Nations estimates that 70,000 gang members operate in the three nations. Well, that's the same amount as there are in LA. So, hey, I have a proposal. If there's 70,000 gang members in three nations and we have to treat these people as refugees to get them to the United States, then I have a proposal. Because of the high gang activity and because the Patriots in Los Angeles feel threatened, I propose that we pre-screen the Patriots to make sure they truly are Patriots and to make sure they truly do feel endangered. And then we give them refugee status and we fly the Patriots and their families to the American Redoubt. And of course, that wouldn't be able to come without funding to put you up in housing or maybe a 5-acre piece of property and a shop and a small house. And hey, we're onto something here. Patriot refugees. Oh, speaking of the border. Now, some of these border patrol agents, they're really, really good people. Last week, we showed you the video or played some of the excerpts from the video, and we posted that from a retired Border Patrol agent. These Border Patrol agents are frustrated and fed up with what this administration is doing, tying their hands. They're not able to secure our borders, and they're just as frustrated. But man, I'll tell you what, we've got some of these guys working on the border as agents under the color of authority that are abusing their authority. I want to follow this up to see if there's going to be any accountability. A neo-Stasi Border Patrol agent points gun at Boy Scouts. Now, this is according to KCCI.com news. In Des Moines, Iowa, a central Iowa Boy Scout troop just returned from a 3-week trip they will likely never forget, the news story reads. About 10 days into the trip, an innocent action by one of the nearly 24 scouts at the Canadian border into Alaska set off a chain of events that led to a U.S. border official, that's neo-Stasi Border Patrol agent, neo-Stasi's. Hey, I just made that up, neo-Stasi. That's pretty good. I just made that up. But it's true. They're neo-Stasi Border Patrol agents pointing guns at Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout Troop 111 leader, Jim Fox, spelled out what happened to him at the Mid-Iowa Boy Scout Troop 111 as four vans loaded full of scouts and adult volunteers tried to drive from Canada into Alaska. Now, this is what kicked it all off. Somebody, one of the kids, takes a picture of one of the Border Patrol agents. So what do? Pull over, get everything unloaded. They ripped through everything they owned. And the agent confiscated the camera and told him he would be arrested and fined possibly $10,000 and 10 years in prison And he was told that it was a federal offense to take a picture of a federal agent. Really? And we got to look that one up. Is somebody out there in the audience, look that up. Is that really a federal offense to take a picture of a federal agent? Because I'd love to see the code for that. Now, of course, the Boy Scout leader didn't want to escalate things, so he didn't complain. But there was another scout. They said, you know, we want to go through everything you own. So they're taking stuff out of the van. This one scout, he's taking luggage from the top of a van so it can be searched. Why is he doing their work for him? If they want to search it, you crawl up there and get it down. But anyway, this Boy Scout's getting this stuff on top of the van, and he hears the snap of a holster. He turns around, and there's this Stasi, this neo-Stasi agent with both hands on his pistol pointed at the young man's head. And this is a statement from the Boy Scout leader. He said they were all in fear. That's aggravated assault. I mean, these are Boy Scouts. They're letting MS-13 go and be processed in, now they're talking about at refugee status, to be processed along just like any other illegal immigrant criminal. They're letting MS-13 go through the border, along with not to mention how many extremist Muslims that are crossing, flooding across our border. And at the Canadian border, going to, because I know we got a huge problem with terrorist extremist Muslim extremists pouring across the Canadian border into Alaska, and they're probably disguised as Boy Scouts. So we're going to take them down at gunpoint, and we're going to tell them to drag their gear off the van because somebody took a picture of a federal agent. We're so superior. You cannot even photograph us because you're going to steal our soul with those little cameras. So this is just amazing or what? Nobody was arrested. Well, hold on. It says ultimately no one was arrested or hurt. And after about 4 hours, they were allowed to continue their trip to Alaska. Wow. Okay, hold on. You're going to draw down on a Boy Scout after threatening another Boy Scout with $10,000 fine, 10 years in prison, felony. You better arrest them. Put your money where your mouth is. They didn't even complain because they didn't want to complicate the situation. They still got everything they had ransacked, and they got held up for 4 hours. You know, I mean, it's almost like, let's push the issue. They already stole 4 hours from you. They already go through all of your stuff and make you put it away after they ransack it just to prove a point. This is intimidation. This is tyranny. These are Stasi tactics, and people that do this are neo-Stasi. But check this out. The Mid-Iowa Council Boy Scouts of America said that this is an official guy standing out in front of the headquarters in the Mid-Iowa Council Boy Scouts of America. He said, Troop 11 learned a valuable lesson. Well, what lesson would that be? Not to take pictures. Oh, well, here we go. We want to make sure they follow the rules. A scout is a good citizen. It would be a great lesson in civics for that young man and that troop. Really? Hold on. We got a Boy Scout that had a gun pointed at his head because one of the Boy Scouts took a picture of a federal agent. A neo-Stasi agent got his picture taken by a Boy Scout on a big, grand adventure, and they got jacked up for it. And now this is a great lesson in civics for that young man and that troop? Are you serious? You should have been denouncing the actions and told the boys they've done nothing wrong, and you need to reinforce to them that what these neo-Stasis did is wrong, and it's illegal, it's unethical, it's amoral, And it's a poor sense of poor use of judgment all the way around. They should have used that as a civics model. Boys, when you grow up, what that guy just did, don't you ever do that, because that is the worst wrong way to treat your fellow countrymen. That man right there should have his badge removed and he should be fired. And boys, we're going to have a civil a lesson in civics, because I'm going to walk you through the process of filing a formal complaint, because we're going to go down and we're going to have a field trip, and we're going to go to our representative's office, and we're going to go to the senator's office, and we're going to walk this all the way through. So here's your civics lesson. Oh my gosh. Anyway, you can read more by going to KCCI.com about that. Let's see here. Oh, speaking of our borders being blown wide open, and MS-13, which has done their share of beheading and raping and pillaging and dismembering and stealing organs and everything else. And that's just for entertainment. 50 soldiers beheaded and their heads put on poles in Syria. ISIS. You guys hear about this? The jihadists, the Islamic State, they've had all these problems in Iraq. Well, who cares? Their problem. It's in Iraq, right? Oh, no. They're in Syria. They overtake a military base in Syria. They capture and execute most of the 50 soldiers that they capture, and then behead all of them and stick their heads on poles. I got the video. It was just gut-wrenching. And you know what? This is coming to Europe and America. We keep our intelligence people are discovering, recovering plans and documents. This is coming to America. They are planning for wide scale attacks on public places, malls, and sporting events, and all these soft targets. What simultaneously our government is trying to disarm the people so they cannot protect themselves. Although there was a huge victory in Washington, D.C. Did you guys hear about that? Judge overruled. He said there's no way or nowhere in the Constitution that could be extrapolated that says that this ban on the carry of handguns in Washington, D.C. can hold up. He overruled it. Threw it out. See, because remember, what was it, 2008, 2009? There was a case where a man used a firearm to defend himself in his home, and that was challenged. That was Dick Heller. Well, anyway, he spoke over in Post Falls, Idaho, not too long ago. But he didn't have the right to defend himself and have a handgun because, well, it's illegal to have a handgun inside of Washington, D.C. Boom, that got overthrown. So now you have the right to defend yourself in your home. So they threw that law out. You can have a handgun in your home. Well, this just got elevated to another argument, because now the argument is I have the right to defend myself outside my home too. I mean, logically, if I can defend myself in my home, doesn't it make sense I can defend myself outside my home? And of course, this whole thing went to the court. They threw it out. This is a huge blow to the left, to the fascists, and to the slave makers that are trying to disarm us. But anyway, the original story I was talking about is that they are blowing our borders are completely wide open, unless you go to Canadian border to, you know, cross from Canada into Alaska. They'll tear you to pieces there. Hope don't go across with a pregnant woman or something, because they're pointing guns at Boy Scouts' heads. But the southern border, well, that's where the Islamic extremists are just going to waltz right off across. Hey, there was an article in, what was it called? Theweek.com. It's called Speed Reads. And this is, Americans really wish they had elected Mitt Romney instead of Obama. Americans are so down on President Obama at the moment that if they could do the 2012 elections all over again, they'd overwhelmingly back the former Massachusetts governor's bid. That's just one finding in the brutal CNN poll released Sunday, which shows Romney topping Obama in a re-election rematch by a whopping 9-point margin, 53-44. That's an even larger spread than CNN found in November when a survey had Romney winning a redo 49-45. Well, you know what? I am not one of those Americans that really wish that Mitt Romney would have got won instead of Obama. And this is why. Remember, Mitt Romney is the one who tried ramming through, or he did successfully implement RomneyCare. It was the model that the Obama administration used for Obamacare. Mitt Romney is a left-wing Republican. He implemented many socialist programs. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So what happened is, see, now the Americans are waking up. Patriots are waking up. Patriotic Americans are becoming patriots. This wouldn't have happened if Mitt Romney would have won the election. You all would have went right back to sleep. See, Obama's not the problem. When you see Obama there, everybody goes, there's an iceberg. I can see the tip sticking up. There's an iceberg. Danger. Obama, bad, right? If Mitt Romney was in there, y'all would have yawned and y'all would have went back to sleep. Not you, like the listening audience. You guys are aware and you have a very acute sense of what's going on in this listening audience. But see, the masses, they would have went right back to business as usual, but now they're getting fired up. Now they see this communist agenda is exposed because he's blatantly moving forward with this agenda, which was always there and it would always be there regardless of whether Obama or Mitt Romney was in place. Because this agenda to destroy America, it's been in motion since before Obama was smoking dope in college, since before he was going to a madras, learning Islam in Indonesia. Okay, this has been something that's been in motion for a long time. And what happens is, because Obama's floating along out there, you see his head sticking up and you say, iceberg. Because what's underneath that is a massive machine. And you guys in the list, there's somebody out there that this, I'm just glad because people are waking up and I believe wholeheartedly that the majority of the people that are waking up today would not have if Mitt Romney would have won. Anyway, that's my take. Hey, I just want to let you guys know before Fox 519 takes this away with his eye on the economy. I'm not sure if you total. Let's see here. I got a letter from. I got a letter from Kathy Thompson. About the Summer of Survival. The complete collection goes up in price at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow, that's 6 a.m. 0600 in the American Redoubt time tomorrow. So tonight's the time, the last opportunity up until 9 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow to get the whole package of all the presentations done at the Summer of Survival, the complete collection. It's going to go up in price. So jump on that. And anyway, I'm going to let Fox 519 take this away with the eye on the economy for this week. And then we'll be back in a minute for segment two to talk about some more news and commentary.
As the dollar dies, it's painful death. We are all starting to feel the pinch at the pump, the grocery store, and in our paychecks. This week in the readout, we are left feeling bruised and battered, as well as the rest of the nation looks to be feeling the same way again. We are now seeing huge separations in income differences. Water costs are up severely in California. And I have an experience with looters that you can all learn from. This is Sunday, July 27, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back. So, have you been feeling the pinch in your pennies lately? Have you been telling your non-believing friends who just don't believe you that inflation is not taking off? Well, now you can finally prove it. This week, a study was released by the Russell Sage Foundation proving that the typical American family is now worth a third less of their income. Among this study was some really well-written points of the fact that the inflation-adjusted net worth for a typical household in 2003 was $87,992. 10 years later, it's $56,335, or a 36% decline. 36%, everyone, that is massive. The shrinking middle class that we all are a part of is going away. We know that this is a historical fact, that as the elite of the nation begin to become more and more wealthy, the separation between the rich and the poor grows more rapidly. This has only become more evident now that we now have 49.2% of all American families receiving some type of government assistance, according to the Government Welfare Department. This massive separation is going to drive two things. One, the anger of people when they are just trying to make a living. And the second will be higher crime. When people cannot buy the things they need, they turn to alternative sources to get what they need, or they resort to behaviors that they never thought possible to get the things they need. Are you prepared to handle people like that? Stay tuned, because I've got a real-world example of just that. In other U.S. news this week, the price of water for California farmers has increased over 700% after our own judicious government cuts the water. Costs over the past month have soared to $1,100 per acre-foot in the Fresno-based Westlands Water District. That is more than double the normal price. This district represents about 700 farms just north of Sacramento. Also raising their costs is the Western Canal Water District, who, just like the Westlands Water District, is selling now their water for double the price, or $500 per acre square foot. The most severe water shortages are taking place in the San Joaquin Valley, just around the Bakersfield to Patterson and the Chowchilla area, where water is more than triple the cost. This drought that is gripping the state of California is killing the supply of fruits, nuts, and vegetables. And just to remind you that California supplies half of those fruits, nuts, and vegetables to the United States. This drought has led federal and state providers to curtail the water supply that they distribute to farmers due to the fact that the population of California needs water to simply survive. This has prompted districts representing growers to buy and sell at escalated prices from other parts of the state. There's cost to transport that water. The drought threatens to boost the produce costs that are already elevated from the past December frost, and according to the U.S. Agriculture Department, the price of fresh fruit is forecast to be as much as high as 6% more than last year. So, just like above, costs are increasing, and this is going to drive people to desperation to feed their families. I hope you are taking precautions right now, because the story I'm about to tell you talks a little bit more about dealing with looters and people who are willing to do anything. Finally tonight, I'm going to forego my normal advice to you again, and I promise next week we'll be getting back into it. But as you know, the readout took a hit from a major, major thunderstorm this week, and my particular area of the readout really took the brunt of it. I have written an after-action report on our 48-hour experience, and it is posted on our website here at Radio Free Readout, but I wanted to share with you several things that I learned from my real-life example of dealing with looters and unruly people. Shortly after the power went out, I had my first run-in with looters. It had only been 3 hours since the power was out, and I went to help my parents clear away some storm damage when I saw two men in what I'll call a white child molester van pulling out of my parents' dirt road. Now, I knew these two men didn't belong there. I didn't know what they were doing there, and when I stopped them, they gave me some BS excuse about the fact that they were there. I told them that they needed to leave the neighborhood in the area, and I did escort them out. But the biggest factor was the time that it took for these men to take advantage of the lack of power and the lack of phone lines. Because without a phone line or power, there are no security systems. My second incident took place at 0400 hours when I was going to refill my generator. As I was filling the generator, a car pulled into my driveway, my fourth a mile driveway, a little ways away. I did take a moment to call my local sheriff's office to confirm they didn't have any units in the area. The car proceeded slowly up my driveway, and I knew whoever this was, they didn't belong there as well. I did something I've never had to do yet. I drew my weapon and went into the low-ready shooting position. I stepped into the light of their headlights and made it very obvious that I was going to defend myself and my property. They backed away very fast and sped out of my driveway. These two instances really caused me to take a really good hard look at my Teotihuacan plants. I really need to beef up my security big time. The question is, do you need to increase your security as well? Do you have an early warning system? Do you have gates on your property? What would you do in a situation like I experienced? You can read more about my 48-hour experience on my action items on our website, and I'll keep you posted on to the status of those as well. Well, thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
And we're back with segment two. Oh my gosh, how can I get through all this stuff? There's no way that I can get through all this stuff because I've got some really pressing, stuff tonight. And so let's just get right into it. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is sponsoring this segment, segment two. So thank them for supporting Radio Free Readout. The sponsors that we do have for the podcast, they cover just barely, but it does cover our hard costs, our internet costs and website and stuff like that. Podbean, Stream Monster, all these little things that just nickel and dime you to death. These guys help make all that possible. So if you can, if you're in the need for relocating to the North Idaho region, that's where these guys specialize. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, up in the upper northern four counties, they can help you out. Okay, in FoxNews.com, military bars troops from attending vacation Bible school. What? It's true. This happened in the Bible Belt. Patriots in Missouri. Yep, this you're not exempt. Bible Baptist Church in Carthage, Missouri is a small country church bursting with American pride. Well, they had the police come and they had the firemen come. Every day they had something going on. Well, it was the day to have the National Guard show up. And he said, we were going to thank them for protecting our religious liberty, said Pastor Hogan. It was more of a promotion of for the military to show the kids what the military does. Well, they got a really front row seat as far as what the military does. They indoctrinate their soldiers that Christian is bad. He said, we were told it's against military policy for National Guard troops to participate in vacation Bible school. They said if the National Guard had assets on church property, it would look like the National Guard is sponsoring the Baptist religion. Really? Well, actually, it does say that you can't have the appearance. You can't promote and you can't have the appearance of promoting a religion, an ideology, things like this, right? Oh, because we want to have an apolitical military. Well, really, it's an agenda to strip God out of the military. And boy, do they have that program in overdrive. See, because homosexuality movement, the homosexuality movement, isn't that an ideology? But the military certainly was present in Washington, D.C.'s gay pride parade. Is that not an ideology? Did it not appear that the military was endorsing an ideology by being in the gay pride parade? So we can see the direction this is going. This is what a sad, another sad moment in America. There's going to be a lot of sad moments in America. I mean, when you see your empire, your nation, your everything that made your country what it is and what you love about it, when you see it crumbling and falling, it is sad. But, like I said, we still have hope. We have hope. Well, we have hope that hopefully this nation will turn around, that it will repent. But if not, then our hope is that he will protect his remnant. Because if he doesn't, well, we're toast. So we have hope. That is our hope. And he's done it in the past. So we can stand on that, that he'll do it in the future. He always protects his remnant anyway. Let's see here. Oh, what else is going on? Oh, the IRS now. They're going to start monitoring sermons. Well, of course, you know that this, this myth about separation of church and state, that the IRS can, you know, fine you and everything. Well, they really haven't been doing it. A lot of the people in the IRS don't want to do it because a lot of them go to church. But there was a settlement with atheists. The Internal Revenue Service settled a lawsuit brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The 2012 lawsuit was settled after the IRS agreed to monitor what is said in houses of worship, something that is a clear violation of the First Amendment, since no law can be written by Congress to this effect. Therefore, the unconstitutional IRS has gone way beyond what the federal constitution allows. Now, the Wisconsin group brought the lawsuit because it said the IRS was ignoring complaints about churches about churches violating their tax-exempt statuses. Specifically, the Freedom From Religious Foundation said many churches promote political issues, legislation, and or candidates from the pulpit in violation of the 1954 Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment is not the... First of all, that's taken out of context. Secondly, it's not the Constitution. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I say we just do it. You say what you got to say, and you speak the truth from the pulpit. And when the IRS comes with the Freedom From Religion Foundation comes along with the IRS in their pocket pointing at you saying you're in violation, just tell them to bugger off. Oh, man. I really shouldn't say that, huh? Because we have international listeners. And I think saying bugger is like, it's like using the F word in some countries. Okay, so I won't do that. Let's see, more religious persecution. Well, that's what it is. We got to redefine. Oh, you know what? There's a really cool video that I posted. We've got to redefine the biblical model for what it means to stand, and it was done by. It's amazing. For those of you who are frustrated because your pastor's asleep, I would strongly recommend, out of love, say, I want to share something with you, Pastor, because there's something that's really been on my heart strongly. And I believe that this pastor here, this Dr. Jim Garlow, he's the senior pastor at Skyline Church. I think he has a very important message, and I'm in agreement with what he says. And I would really like you to consider watching this. And hopefully it will influence some of your views on kind of where we're at today and where we're headed. So that might be a good way to present that. But that video is over there. I want to invite you to watch that. And that was found over there at the blackroberege.org or the Black Robe Regiment website. Let's see what else. The DHS is telling firefighters, paramedics, and medical that medical treatment provides an opportunity to identify extremists. Thanks, DHS, for more indoctrination. If you see something, say something. And you out there in the audience, when you see something, say something. You guys know about that program. YouTube, let's see. We've got, there's a private organization calling themselves the New York State Intelligence Group. They put out a bulletin that's only supposed to be for police only, but it got leaked out that these guys are, they're kind of supposedly the watchdog and intelligence group for law enforcement in New York State. Well, their latest bulletin links Oath Keepers as basically extremist anti-government group, which isn't true. They're very pro-government. They're just pro-constitution. They're not anti-government. It's just that some of the people in the government are anti-constitution. There's the true opponent. But they want to link Oath Keepers with recent murders, like some Canadian Mounties who got killed by some guy who had some extremist ideas from certain groups in the U.S. Oh, this is just great stuff. Part of the far right anti-government movement. One thing that this guy said in this video, he's the head guy of the Oath Keepers in New York, said that he went through all the research and found that in all of these cases, the people were on drugs. That's not a Oath Keeper. What's the word? That's not a standard that the Oath Keepers endorses, but these people were. In all cases of in the case of the married couple who shot and killed the Nevada police officers, they're trying to link these guys to Oath Keepers because this couple that killed those police officers in Las Vegas attended an Oath Keepers meeting once. And also they were at the Bundy Ranch, but what they didn't mention was that they were also reportedly asked to leave at some point because their views were not in line with what they were trying to portray there. They're radicals. And as it turns out, these guys were, that couple was also in Occupy. They had Facebook postings of them at the Occupy protest, which is a left-wing protest. And I'll tell you what, the more and more you look, you find overwhelmingly majority, almost all of these active shooter situations, these freaks are all extreme left wingers. But they want to keep blaming the right wing for it. Amazing. Let's see. Let's take a break. And then I want to talk about a couple things. We can get this wrapped up we're only at the end of segment two. All right. So, I want to share this with you. This is really cool. A doctor, a psychologist, they're trying to slap his hand, but they're really having a hard time doing this because this psychiatric doctor, had some patient come in. He was letting this counselor and this patient use his office. Well, this guy comes in, he shoots this woman in the face, and the doctor drops under his desk, grabs his gun. They get in a shootout. They exchange gunfire, and both of them were hit, but the bad guy, he really got the worst end of the deal. They don't know if he's going to pull through. But basically, this doctor now stopped this guy. He was loaded for bear. He had a lot more ammo on him. The police department saying this doctor, by being armed, definitely saved a lot of lives. And so now the hospital, you know, they have this no firearm policy whatsoever, period, on the grounds. But now this guy just saved lives with one. So now they're kind of got themselves in a quandary. Here's a really cool testimony. This is from the National Black Robe Regiment.com website. Headlines in Israel claim miracles are protecting the Jews during the Gaza Strip ground war, with one headline proclaiming that Hamas terrorists are complaining about God changing the direction of rockets in mid-air. Oh, this is great. In this article, it says, we witness hourly miracles. As one of the terrorists from Gaza was reported to say when asked why they couldn't aim their rockets more effectively. He says, we do aim them, but their God changes their path in midair. Isn't that cool? So when you got God on your side, it's amazing. It's amazing what can happen. Before we break, I want to remind you guys that Chris Ann Hall, amazing speaker. Chris Ann Hall will be in Spokane, the Spokane Valley, talking on the genealogy of the Constitution Thursday, next Thursday, not this coming, but the following Thursday, August 7th at 6 p.m., 1800 hours, at La Belle V Event Center in Spokane Valley. And that's going to be, once again, August 7th. That's Thursday, 6 p.m., Chris Ann Hall talking about the genealogy of the Constitution. Stay right there, and we'll be back in a moment. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, remember freedom? Wasn't it nice? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing.
If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Okay, segment three, I wanted to talk a little bit about a kind of a debrief. We had a couple of things happen in the American Redoubt this week. First of all, in eastern Washington, there were some raging inferno wildfires that had several communities are still without power. Several homes were destroyed. Lots of people had to evacuate and so on and so forth. Well, the volunteer hams through Aries and Races in that area, that's a private organization and a government organization that consists of volunteer ham operators. And it was a mess. They had, I want you to read that briefing that was sent in by a AMRON operator that lives in that area, and he's monitoring the communications. And of course, this is something that he had seen coming for a long time. Their stuff was poorly maintained. Their training was inadequate. But when it all happened, when you would expect for people to pull together, the egos got in the way. Things started falling apart. And one guy offered to be a relay because their repeater wasn't working. So this guy gets on there and says, "Hey, I can monitor you guys. And I got a far reach and I'll be a relay for you guys." They said, "Thanks, but no thanks. We don't need you." And then they're scrambling without communications. It's a pretty amazing observations that he sent in. So we put that up as a posting over at AMRON.com. Go check that out. But see, this is what we're trying to avoid. This is why AMRON practices and trains continuously, maintains and tries to improve their stations. So when it all goes down, we can stay on the air. We can be in touch. And that's why we're going to be practicing this next month, T-Rex 2014, which is the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of August. It's a 3-day exercise, a scenario-based exercise. We will probably not do the regularly scheduled AMRON nets that week because that's going to be, you know what? Actually, hold off on that. Belay that. I think what we'll probably do is actually run the nets, but what we'll do is incorporate pre-event intelligence and announcements and updates to prepare. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll run our nets regular as scheduled Wednesday and Thursday night, but we're going to start tying that in to build up that coming weekend's exercise, which starts on Friday. This week, there's going to be a meeting with several people that's going to discuss the scenario timeline and things that are going to be released as far as scenario-related items the week of the event leading up to it. And also, we've asked for volunteer stations. What this means is destination and initiating stations. Now, a destination station is a station that we want to try to get a message to. For example, if your wife is traveling out of town and you have communications, she makes it to a ham operator station using the AMRON protocol. She makes contact with an AMRON operator. Now this AMRON operator is going to take the message for her welfare report that she's alive, she's well, her location, give a status report to the destination station. So in another part of the country, where you are the destination station, there's going to be a network of communicators working to try to get that message from point A to point B. So if you're willing to volunteer and say, "Yeah, I'll start off being a originating station. I'll be the first one to send off a message," and somebody else can volunteer to be the intended recipient of that traffic. And So we would like more volunteers, but we really need you. This is what people haven't been doing. We need you to let us know what communications you're using. Because if all you have is a CB and we're trying to put messages out over shortwave, you don't have a shortwave. So it doesn't do us any good. So let us know what type of communications you have that you'll have operational for T-Rex. Because there's some people that put down shortwave because they planned on getting one, but they still don't have one yet. And so realistically, that wouldn't be something that we could use to try to get a message to you. Let us know what comms you're going to have on game day. So we need both originating stations and destination stations. Remember, this weekend is a weekend for you. You don't have to participate in the communications network at all. Or you could just tune in and try to monitor to listen to news and updates related to the scenario. If you want to do your own thing and just go camping and go off grid and practice using all of your stuff and bugging out and packing and do that, then that's fine. If you just want to kill the power in your house so you can live right at your home off grid, then that's fine. This is your exercise for that weekend for you to practice and implement your plan. We keep reiterating that. But we also there'll be a heavy emphasis on the communications training. So I want to encourage you guys to participate or at least monitor those communications. Now, this week during the storm, this scenario for T-Rex is there will be mostly grid down environment. There will be no internet, no power and things like that, except for a few pockets. And we'll be talking more about that. If you're going to be a volunteer station, we are going to be emailing you a week in advance your scenario and your role and messages and things like that. Your instructions, basically. Now, this week, the other thing that happened besides these firestorms is we got nailed with an extremely violent, short-lived but very violent storm. Wednesday night, as Amron was beginning to do the nets, we got heads up, actually earlier in the day, of an extreme weather thunderstorm warning. And so we were able to watch on AccuWeather and track the storm and literally watch it come across from the coast toward the American Redoubt. And it appeared to be building up strength the closer it got. So immediately, the Amron nets started, they weren't using the communications SOI. They just began communicating with each other. Some of them over the radio, some of them using email. And after a short time, all the Amron operators in the area were aware of the storm and of the status. And then they were giving each other status reports. That's a real world situation. The Amron, it really shined because we put the word out through Amron and email that the net control station may not be able to operate. So be standing by, and stations that have that are in other parts of the country, be prepared to step up and act as net control stations for the nets. And guess what? They did. About the time the nets were supposed to start, the lightning hit, the wind hit, and this storm came in like a bulldozer. There are still people without power. Many power lines that are down, they had like 4 cows and a calf got killed and struck by lightning. They're looking at the damage. They believe a tornado touched down. Where is that? In Elk, Washington? Someplace where, of course, trailer park. Trailer parks are tornado magnets. But trailer park got severe damage. They're suspecting that it was a tornado. But what was I going to say about this? Oh, the communications that we used during this time consisted of grid up comms. We were using AccuWeather, we were using emails, and we were using Facebook. And this was a real world situation, very regional, very isolated, to the inland Pacific Northwest, the American Redoubt, and only parts of the American Redoubt. And also, we used repeaters. I'm not aware of any of the repeaters going out, but occasionally they do from lightning strikes. But in this case, as long as the stuff's up, use it. Where were we at? Let's see. I wanted to cover a couple of things. Access to the internet. Oh, yeah. Some of them didn't have internet unless you had a hotspot. So there's something you might be able to incorporate into your planning. And, of course, a laptop. Because you can operate on battery power. That and a hotspot, you're not connected. You can unplug from the wall and still be operational and still be able to function. There were some other lessons that were learned. We stressed, you know, being operational in a grid down situation. But when power went out, there's one operator that was, you know, down to his handheld and his generator's out in the shop. Well, it's great because he's going to drag it out for T-Rex, right? But here's a real world situation and you're without power because the generator's out in the shop and it's buried and you got to dig it out and prep it. So we're prepping for T-Rex, but, you know, hey, life's what happens when you're making your plans, right? So while everybody's planning on what they're going to do to prepare for T-Rex, a real world situation hits. Now there's somebody without power because their generator isn't accessible. Some people were down to just strictly batteries on their HTs, but they had been using them for the last couple of days and hadn't charged them. So consider extra batteries and a way to charge them using 12 volt power. Oh, another good thing that came up. Somebody had their long wire for their HF communications snapped because it was attached to a tree. Trees are blowing in the wind. Top of the tree breaks off, snaps your long wire. So to get back up operational as quickly as you can, have equipment standing by ready for so that you can rebuild antennas that get broken and blown down and damaged. A generator and a soldering iron, extra wire. Those kind of things. And something else that came up too that I don't have that I'm going to try to scrape up my pennies and get is a butane soldering iron for a grid down situation when you have to do some soldering for wires and connections in case something gets damaged. Cords, cables, wires, antennas. To be able to re-solder those, a butane soldering iron. And why I didn't think of that before? I have no idea. But there we are. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. And this segment was sponsored by Katie Armor. You can go to katiearmor.com and for all of your bulletproof shopping needs. They're a great product, and they're a Patriot-owned company, and they're worthy of your support. katiearmor.com. That's C-A-T-I, armor.com. AR-500, level 3 body armor and plates and plate carriers. Okay, guys, segment 4 coming up, and I'm going to do some question and answer, and then we'll wrap everything up. So stay there.
Mr. Manifest is back, fists up in the air, attack. This the year I almost cracked.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This Radio Free Readout thing is such a rush. Oh my gosh, I can't handle it.
All right, the fourth and final segment for tonight for episode 1429 is brought to you by AMP3 Medical. That's the Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They sell medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. And Dave from AMP3 does an amazing job with his YouTube videos and tutorials. I want to encourage you to go check those out. And he's always doing product reviews and teaching new skill sets and things like that that can really help you become more self-reliant. And plus, they sell some great products. So check them out, AMP3. Remember to email us, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And, of course, you can just visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com if you're listening on the go. I got a few question and answers or questions that I wanted to answer. And these are questions from the Summer of Survival. So, by the way, those to buy the entire collection for the whole summer, with speakers talking about self-reliance, including the Comms Up 2 video from Radio Free Readout. Those prices are going up tomorrow. So if you wanted to, if you were planning on getting that whole collection with all the speakers on all the different topics for off-grid living and self-reliance, then go check those out and jump on that before the price goes up. Okay, so straight to it. Question, according to your five-step plan, we should have both a scanner and a ham capability. Is that correct? Okay, yes. A scanner will give you local communications monitoring coverage, and a shortwave radio with single sideband will give you long-range monitoring coverage outside your region, across the continent, and even around the world, and especially one with single sideband so you can monitor amateur radio or ham traffic, as you asked. So, now, when you asked, both a scanner and ham, well, a scanner can pick up ham. There are several different things here. There's the scanner, which is local. There's shortwave, which is long distance. And then ham, well, ham radio, you can talk locally and long distance, depending on your license class and the type of equipment that you have. But at least be able to monitor and listen. Hey, something also that I wanted to clear up. Last week, I couldn't believe I did it. Somebody asked me a question about NVIS. And I said, yes, absolutely. It's a near vertical inductance skywave. And somebody said, you know, hey, I hate to pick at you, but you're actually wrong on that. And then he told me it's near incidence skywave propagation. I mean, oh my gosh. Near vertical incidence skywave. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what I said. Well, I went back and listened, and sure enough, I said inductance skywave. But so anyway, I know it's NVIS, near vertical incidence skywave. But I didn't say that. I said inductance. For some reason, I don't know how that got in my head, but it came out of my mouth and right out over the airwave. So sorry about that. That was a correction issue. I mean, something I had to correct. Next question. I purchased a used scanner. I'm having problems getting it programmed so that I can hear local activity. Are there any organizations or companies that offer programming? The answer, yes. I've heard of some outfits offering radio programming for a fee, but these are usually commercial or government banned service providers. Now, for a scanner, I would never pay someone else to program it. My recommendation is that you do an internet search with the make and model number of your scanner, comma, PDF. Put in the make and model number, comma, dot PDF as your search words. And then find the PDF user's manual for that scanner. Download it and print the operator's manual for your receiver. And put that in your communications binder and all communications equipment in your inventory. Become proficient with every piece of communications gear you own to the point that you can teach others. You're doing yourself a huge disservice if you're relying on others to program your own communications equipment, especially something as basic as a scanner. If you build the skill, you will build the will to use it like anything else. And that's yours. Take ownership of it. Learn how to use it. Master the piece of equipment that you have. Do you find that a lot of ham operators are like-minded patriots and preppers? Oh, Yes, a lot of them are like-minded patriots. However, many are not. Ham radio is a hobby, and like building muscle cars, model railroading, or stamp collecting, it's a hobby, and it crosses all cultural and ideological boundaries. There are communists and there are left-wing socialists that are ham radio operators. So, practice OPSEC. Do not discuss. Always keep in mind that others are listening. Always assume others are listening when you're talking. So when you're talking about patriot-related issues, AMRON this and AMRON that, be mindful that there are others that do not like patriots who are also ham radio operators. So while ham radio is a great way to meet like-minded people, don't assume that everybody that's a ham operator is like-minded, because that will get you in trouble and you'll be compromising yourself early on, because one day they're going to be rewarded with extra food rations or fuel rations. If you can think of a name of anybody that might come to mind that you know of that might be an extremist, they're going to say, yeah, I remember Joe Schmo. He's in the ham club. He was getting on the air yapping away about government this and that and don't tread on me, and yeah, I know somebody that's an extremist. Okay, so proceed with caution. Yes, there are lots of patriots that are hams. The majority of them are self-reliant minded people, but not all of them are Christian patriots, so beware. Okay, next question. Would it, in your opinion, be of any worth from an OPSEC standpoint to utilize non-typical radios for tactical communications, such as marine band transceivers miles away from any waterway in a post-stuff-hits-the-fan world? All right, yes, it could be beneficial. However, you don't have to be anywhere around a navigable body of water for people to hear your communications. So just because you're using marine band and you're miles away from any body of water, a scanner can easily pick that up. There's a lot of radio direction finding equipment that's out there, and there are full spectrum receivers that will pick it up in seconds. So don't think that you have a super secret communications method because you're using marine radio. In fact, you might be better off getting one of the Baofeng type radios, for example, because that actually covers the marine radio spectrum from 156 to 162 megahertz. Well, the Baofeng radio and Wuxuns and others like that, you can program in to transmit and receive from 136 to 174 megahertz. So the marine radio just inherently falls within that, being at 156 to 162 megahertz. So I wouldn't just limit myself to specifically a marine radio. Now also check your laws and make sure that it's legal to operate on those frequencies before you do, because post or pre stuff hits the fan world, there's laws and they are enforced. So don't do anything illegal and don't do anything that's going to get your stuff confiscated or heavy fines. Okay, but why just have a marine radio that's only programmable with only the marine radio spectrum of frequencies when you can have another radio that does that and so much more? Anyway, I hope that helps out. Okay, guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening, tuning in for tonight. That basically wraps up episode 1429. I'm going to let you get going because I got to get going. But God bless you all for being out there. Thanks for all that you do. And until we meet again, you just be blessed this week. Be preparing, get your stuff together, and keep learning your communications equipment, learning your founding documents, and getting into the Word. I'm preaching to myself there. All right. You have a great week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you are listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.